It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails, and in addition to your questions about what's permissible as carry-on items following last week's uncovering of an alleged terrorist plot in the United Kingdom, Ramon Alarcón in California had this to say. We've known for a long time that terrorists want to blow up planes using explosives. We've even known that they've considered liquids. The real scandal is that it took uncovering a specific plot to trigger measures that should have already been in place. Abby Finn in Florida heard our program about the use of art to help us understand and interpret the attacks of 9/11 and wrote, "Art has always been part of recovery from trauma. I was one of the thousands of crisis counselors who worked with survivors of the World Trade Center disaster. One of the remarkable elements of children coming to terms with the disaster was that they were drawing images of the towers and the planes. The parents talked about the children's drawings and block buildings that they were using to reenact the events. At a conference, I heard school counselors from the schools surrounding the World Trade Center speak about how the children in the schools had to be evacuated. They said that the children were all very quietly holding hands as they moved through the chaos in the street. However, when the children got to safer schools, they began to draw pictures of what they had seen." Our show on poverty in Africa with NPR's Charlene Hunter-Gault prompted this comment from Connie Fryermuth. I recently returned from southern Sudan after working with the Women's Self-Help Development Organization to upgrade the food handling and sanitation processes in three dining rooms. Initially, it was overwhelming to realize the barriers that these women had to work through. What I found with all of these women is that they were very open and receptive to what I had to teach them. They wanted to learn a better way to do their jobs. They took much pride in their knowledge. It was very encouraging to me to meet and work with many Sudanese who were working with great difficulty to renew their country and to help make their lives a little more normal in a chaotic environment. And our interview yesterday with comedian Josh Blue, who suffers from cerebral palsy and just won NBC's reality series The Last Comic Standing, elicited this email from Lee Pounds. My youngest brother has cerebral palsy. He has more of a speech impediment and less of an impairment of his motor functions than Josh. He ran for student body vice president in both middle school and high school. One of his slogans was, "If you think I can't be vice president, then you're the one with the disability." He won the student body vice presidency as a junior in high school. And from Catherine Simpson, who wrote with this recollection, "A few years ago, I had the honor of giving horseback lessons to Keith Nuwerla, a young man with cerebral palsy who has become quite famous in dressage circles. My favorite memory of working with Keith was one day after he'd ridden a great lesson. I took off the rubber bands holding his boots to the stirrups and said, without thinking, 'Hop off.' His reply, 'Hop off, hop off. There'll be no hopping, not today.'" If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name.